Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 217, the four stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. And what follows, Psalter 217, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 2, the verses 12 through 17. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation 2, the verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save it he that receiveth it. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then by renewal on this Lord's day, in the evening hour, then we attempt as poor sinners to open our unclean lips and to call upon thy name, imploring thy favor and thy blessing. And then by renewal, then it behooves us to confess, and no merit undeserved, as sinned away, guilty of breaking all thy commandments. But, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou hast declared in thy holy word that thy house is the place where thou meetest with thy church, and wilt thou so come down with thy spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood, then thou hast exhorted in thy holy word that we must call upon thy name for all our needs, for all our trials, and also come with our blessings. Then in this day, then thy mercies have been multiplied. Thou hast spared the brittle thread of all of our lives, and thou hast granted the opportunity, insofar that it was possible, to come up to thy courts. Remember those that are ill at home. Wilt thou grant them healing? May all the callings be sanctified. We humbly ask thee in this evening hour that thy word may be used for the conversion of sinners, but also for the instruction of thy people, that they may have not only life, but that they may have it more abundantly, to be administered out of thy fullness, and to receive grace for grace, all the work of a triune God. Lord, do bless the manifold means of grace. Bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end. And now when other season of instruction has come to an end, then we may acknowledge thee, the help that thou hast given to parents, to instructors, to our school, has been such a solemn year. May it not be forgotten. Thou hast spoken so loudly and clearly. Thou hast taken three young people out of her midst. Ah, Lord, may it all be sanctified. What more must thou do to bring us on the right place? And thou knowest that without the saving work of thy Spirit, that man shall not be converted. But oftentimes thou usest solemn callings accompanied with thy holy word to that end. And then, although officially the season of instruction has come to an end, binded upon the hearts of fathers and mothers that they are called continually to instruct their dear children in the aforesaid doctrine, may it please thee in the summer months to graciously spare us. Wilt thou grant refreshment for body and for mind? We commend thy church unto thee, over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, O, do continue, and thou shalt uphold and remember the persecuted church, and give us oftentimes to consider what makes us yet to differ, that we may so freely and so unhindered come up to thy courts. We commend unto thee the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. Wilt thou uphold them in all the conflicts, and may it be used that the veil may be removed. We commend our mission field unto thee, the young father and mother with their two little children, when in this week they hope to continue to their journey and to arrive in Bolivia, a different country, a different language, a different culture. There shall be much that is new, but may they be given to experience in a special way that thou art an everywhere present God, to receive tokens of thy favor and also thy gracious help when they begin to study a foreign language. We commend unto thee a young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony in this week. Wilt thou go before them, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud? Do open thy word for thy servant and grant thy gracious help. Another young couple hopes to be united in holy matrimony the following week. Oh, do grant them a special place at thy footstool, where they may ask for thy presence and for thy blessing. Remember all of our young people, those with planned marriages, but also those that are still single. May it please thee to answer their prayers and give them the desire of their hearts. We commend unto thee all widowers, widows, half-orphans, those that have brought children and dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do continue to strengthen and uphold, sanctify. We commend unto thee the sick and afflicted, the mother in the hospital with weakness and difficulties of the mind. May the means be blessed, and above all convert. Remember those that are near and dear unto her, and do remember all those amongst us that struggle with those difficulties where they can be so overwhelmed and where it can all seem so impossible. May they be given to look unto thee and tell thee all and ask for thy gracious help. Remember all those under the physician's care. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening where it is necessary, and may treatments be blessed. All the calling sanctified, we remember the handicapped ones, crosses and burdens, scars. Oh, do bless the family circles. May love abound and thy word have a central place. And Lord, when we are healthy, when we have no pain, when we may freely go in and out, then it is also necessary that we commend them unto thee, because then we are so liable to forget thee and be so busy with earthly things, and that we completely forget that we have a never-dying soul. Wilt thou continue to provide for our family circles their daily bread? Lord, we commend unto thee our country, wherein this week our country may commemorate another birthday. And then we do well to pause, because we and our children are inhabitants of this country. And then it behooves us to have a humble heart, where notwithstanding our sins, then thou still blesseth our country with so many blessings above other countries. But, O Lord, then we have need, reason, to say with the prophet of old, the crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. A country which thou hast given us, a country flowing with milk and honey, and a country where formerly thou wast also richly wrought with thy spirit, a country formerly where among those in high authority there was made mention of thy name, of thy word, and of thy law. But, Lord, we have forgotten thee. The sins are multiplying as never before. Thy word despised, thy commandments trampled upon, the unborn daily murdered, thy Lord's day desecrated, and the seventh commandment not honored. May it please thee to bring yet a people in the guilt that is necessary for us and our children, when we may remember that thou hast spared our country for another year, and thy patient long-suffering, and then thy long-suffering is great indeed. O, may thy church be more the salt of the earth and a light upon the hill. May we and our dear children, may we be given to notice the signs of the time, perceive it with our heart that thy judgments are hanging so low, also over this country. And our Lord, who shall live when thou doest those things? And to that end, may we in a time when thou yet granteth much prosperity, many blessings, May we be given to earnestly seek Thee, that we may belong to Thee. And that is only possible by Thy free and sovereign grace. And the prophet of old has declared, I will be inquired of them, O house of Israel, to do it for them, O Lord. Pour out then Thy Pentecostal Spirit in a richer measure upon us and our dear children. We humbly ask Thee for Thy help in this evening hour. Open Thy word, and may Thy word go forth with power divine, and may we be given to examine each our hearts, how matters stand with us and our dear children, traveling to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 140, the four stanzas. God, be merciful to me. On Thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion Thou, blot out my transgressions now. And what follows, Psalter 140, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23, the question and answers 59, 60, and 61. Question 59, but what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? Answer, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. Question 60, how art thou righteous before God? Answer, only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that, though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, notwithstanding, God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, even so, as if I never had had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. Question 61, why sayest thou that thou wert righteous by faith only? Answer, and not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. Lord's Day number 23 that speaks of the justification of the sinner by faith, with three thoughts. First, confessed. Secondly, declared. And thirdly, received. Thus, boys and girls, short and simple points which you can tell your parents after church. The justification of the sinner by faith, first, confessed in number 59. As secondly, declared in number 60. And thirdly, received in number 61. Beloved congregation, this Lord's Day speaks of how a sinner can be righteous before God. Has that now become our concern, our exercises? Have we now learned that we cannot appear before the Lord with our sins, and that the Lord is so holy and so just that he must punish each of our sins, and that satisfaction must be made by us or by another. Do you oftentimes think of your sins, congregation? Have you become burdened with the same and with a profound impression how terrible, because each and every one shall be called to appear before God's tribunal, to appear before God as judge. And how blessed that people that may be wrought upon by the Holy Spirit and to receive those godly exercises and to be uncovered deeper and deeper, oh, in this Lord's day, for burdened souls that are learning more and more that our works do not satisfy, that I am a sinner still, that my case is becoming worse, hopeless from our side. Oh, then in this Lord's day, have you heard it, that the instructors were given to glory in free and sovereign grace, and that may now be declared amongst us and our dear children, oh, young and old, if I now would tell you that you had to save yourself, that you would have to become righteous and holy, and then it would be such a hopeless case. But now it is the work of that covenant God, by word and by spirit, to work those wonders in the hearts of the children of men, and to that end, what a privilege and what a blessing. And this week, Canada hopes to commemorate another birthday. And when we think of former times, no young people, we shall not idolize the old times too much. The Lord is still the same, still gathering a church by word and by spirit. But when we only think of the Lord's day, how holy, how punctually it was kept in our country. Oh, in the early days, I have mentioned it before, Timothy Eaton, who was looked upon as the founder of department stores, and then Saturday evening on time, perhaps around supper time, and then he had blinds in front of all the windows that would come down, and that the bypassers on the way to church, that they could not look at the goods for sale. But now in this Lord's day, it speaks of the forgiveness of sins, and we have heard thereof already in Lord's Day number 21. The last question, question 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sin? And there it was in the context of the blessings which Christ has merited for his chosen church, and which he grants unto them by the work of the Holy Spirit. And in Lord's Day number 23, it speaks of the prophet of true saving faith, not to despise historical faith, a great blessing to be under proclamation of law and gospel and under the prayers of the church can keep us from much sin and much trouble. But that historical faith does not bring a sinner into a saving relationship with the Lord, with that holy activity. And neither a temporal faith. Oh, it can lie so close together. The Lord Jesus Christ, how often he has spoken of a work that comes so close to the true saving work. But that temporal faith, that shall not unite to the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior for sinners, that does not mean that the temporal believer does not take the name of Christ upon their lips, but is never as a lost, hell-worthy, condemn-worthy sinner come to the end of everything and a revealed and the church and needs an applied Christ. And now the question is added in this Lord's Day, what doth it profit thee now that thou believest all this? And when there is spoken of all this, that refers to the 12 articles of faith. Faith in God the Father, faith in God the Son, and faith in God the Holy Spirit, and connected to it with the blessings which that dear Savior has merited for his people. And now such a precious answer. The answer is not so long, but the Lord has a people upon the earth that need particular that answer on account of the saving, uncovering work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit, John 16, the verses 8 through 10, then they uncovered that chosen church that they are not righteous, that they are not right before God because of their many and great sins, and that for such an uncovered sinner, that with all their efforts of improvement and of repentance and of praying, oh, it shall not be missed. And the Lord is not a land of outer darkness, a forest child. They shall be given to taste of the good things of the Lord. But now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to teach such a sinner that they are unrighteous still. And, oh, that separation which is so bitter, that they realize they cannot appear, they cannot stand before that holy and righteous God with their sins, upon their account, and therefore they stand in need of the Lord granteth those further leadings. And I read that I am righteous in Christ before God. And the second part, and an heir of eternal life. Concerning being righteous before God, that concerns the passive obedience of Christ, and to be an heir of eternal life, that concerns especially his active obedience. Justification, that is a judicial act of God by which he, while maintaining his righteousness against a guilty sinner from guilt and punishment, and grants a right to eternal life. The late Reverend Kirsten, according following her old fathers and as it is written in the scriptures, and then Reverend Kirsten has spoken of a justification before faith, and that in the first place, in the degree of God from eternity, because I read in Revelation 13 verse 8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, that the Lord has loved his people with an everlasting love. And then secondly, in the resurrection of Christ, because I read in Romans 4 verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In the resurrection of Christ, there lies the justification of the church. But now it shall be experienced in the life of that chosen church by faith. And then in the moment of regeneration, then the Lord looks down upon a sinner in the merits of his beloved Son. And in the second place, in the way of experience, in the justification of the sinner. And then thirdly, the justification upon the clouds of heaven, when Christ as judge shall appear, and young and old, we shall all stand there. And then we shall appear before the judge. Oh, then God's people, body and soul, shall be publicly acquitted. Concerning the justification of a sinner in the court of conscience, then we read of that matter in different places. When we think of Father Jacob, then there was a difference in experience between Bethel in Genesis 28, where he received a revelation of that ladder, a hope outside of himself, a revelation of Christ. But then in Genesis 32 in Peniel, then he received that application, and we read that he received a new name. Job in Job 33, the verses 23 and 24, has spoken of this Lord's Day. If there be a messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. And then in the following verse, then his flesh shall return to the flesh of a child. In Isaiah 38, then we read of that God-fearing Hezekiah, who loved the Lord with his whole heart, brought about with the Lord's help such a glorious reformation, and such a great Passover was celebrated. But then in Isaiah 38, verse 1, when the prophet has come with that solemn message, set thy house in order, for thou shalt surely die. Oh, that old people of God has said so often that we place our experience before death, because young and old, a mistake concerning our soul, that is an eternal mistake. And then Hezekiah has experienced that with everything he has experienced, that he could not satisfy justice. And then the Lord has given Lord's Day 23, where in a song he was given to declare that the Lord has cast all his sins behind his back. In Joshua 3, then there was in Zechariah 3, we read of Joshua the high priest that was clothed with filthy garments, Satan accusing at his right hand. And then we read that he received new garments and a crown upon his head. The disciples, let us mention those disciples in John 1, where John the Baptist was given to point. Oh, a precious revelation. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And then John has recorded years later, it was the 10th hour. But now on the evening of the resurrection, then they received a further benefit and a further application. Because they read in Luke 24, verse 45, that their understanding was opened, that they understood the scriptures concerning the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sins. We have read together of the letter of Christ to the church of Pergamos. Many privileges and many blessings he has commended that church for the good things which the Lord has left. And also as a congregation, then we do well to remember the many precious and good things that the Lord is left amongst us. But in Christ is spoken concerning, but I have a few things against thee. And then at the end of that letter, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And then Christ is given to speak of two benefits. That hidden manna in the ark was that golden pot of manna. It was so hidden. But now the Spirit grants unto his child that they may be given to eat of that manna. The Word of God, the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ, in young and old, that is such a sweet manna, and that strengthens, that refreshes, and that nourishes. But then Christ has also spoken and will give him a white stone. In Bible times, boys and girls, when a person has transgressed the law, and then they had to come to court, and they came before the judge, then they tell us that such a judge would have two stones on his desk, and then he would have a white stone, and he would also have a black stone. And after investigation, then the judgment would pronounce judgment, and then either he would give a black stone or the white stone. And when the judge would take that black stone and grant it to the accused, then that said that he was guilty and he must be punished according to the law. But when the judge would now pick up that white stone and grant it to the accused, that means that he was acquitted and that he was free. Secondly, declared, as we find it in question and answer 60, then we have heard that justification, that is an acquittal. It is not an infusing of holiness, but the guilty sinner is acquitted and set free. Thus that refers to a court case. And now that court case, that is set up in the heart of a sinner in the moment of regeneration. And then a sinner has to do with the judge, with the Lord. And now it is so wonderful in that court case, then a sinner also receives love for the Lord as judge. Oh, they learn to know that the judge is so holy and so just, so pure, that he cannot look upon sin and the sinner, and that he must punish. Oh, then the sinner learns that the judge is omnipresent, that he is omniscient, that he has seen and sees everything that I have done. Then a sinner learns that the judge is almighty. Oh, justice and power combined. Then a sinner learns that he cannot escape. Oh, then such a sinner is given to weep many a tear because of his sins. I read in Jeremiah 31 verse 9 that they shall come with weeping and supplication. And Christ in the Beatitudes has declared in Matthew 5 verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And now what does such a sinner try to do? Tries to please the judge, but they learn that they are not righteous, but that they are unrighteous. And now such a sinner, they are given to ask and beg much. Ah, oh, we have sung it together. Has that become our prayer? Oh, they are given to learn that the only hope is mercy, because they can never save themselves. A sinner is given to learn that their rightful place is in the bottom of hell. And yet the Spirit grants that grace also of hope, that they do not despair. And now concerning the court, oh, then such a sinner is so afraid of appearing in court, because such a sinner has no solution. And that does not mean to make it simple congregation. It can be in natural life that someone is very guilty and they receive the summons, a court date, that they must appear before the judge. And in daily life, there are those that do not appear, that hide. But that is not possible before the judge of heaven and earth. And now in daily life, to make it plain, then when such a guilty one, when he would meet the judge, and the judge would smile and speak friendly, then such a guilty one would receive a little hope, but no solution, because there is still a court date. And then the judge must judge according to the law. Are there souls that understand it? Encouragements, tokens for good, but yet a heavily high debt, an oppressing guilt. Then for such a one, then what an encouragement it would be when he would hear of an advocate that has never lost the case, but an advocate that is righteous. Oh, then for such a one, oh, for guilty sinners, when that precious Jesus may be revealed in his necessity, in his suitability, and his sufficiency, then they are given to rejoice. And yet, the court case, because in justification, that it is the acquittal of the judge. We have mentioned many scriptural references concerning that justification, and now the guilty sinner to appear. And then there are those accusers, the holy law, Ten Commandments, and the guilty sinner has transgressed them all. And the wages of sin is death. And then Satan, as we have heard out of Zechariah 3, and their conscience, that must agree, guilty, worthy of death. We read in Romans 3, verse 19, for the world to become guilty before God, and every mouth is stopped. And then the wonder, oh, that precious advocate, when he may appear, and he does not acquit because the sinner is guilty. The advocate agrees with the judge, but now the advocate, he appears with his merits and with his blood. Father, I have taken the place of this guilty and hell-worthy sinner. I have given myself in the counsel of peace. I have fulfilled the conditions of the covenant. I have the pierced hands, the pierced side, and the pierced feet. Oh, I have found, and then the Father, as we have heard out of Job 33, I have found a ransom. Oh, then the instructors, they have worded it so beautifully, but also experientially separates the precious from the vile. Only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed, is that only a Manasseh? No, that is God's people. Grossly transgressed all the commandments of God, it is true. Though one more inclined to that sin and another one to another sin, but all grossly transgressed. Speaking of church people, unto whom much is given, much will be required. Lord, with all my blessings, with all my sermons, with thy goodness and with thy callings, then I am the guiltiest of all. Paul has written to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, the chiefest of sinners, and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil. Then we hear that the instructors have been deeply and clearly led. Not a nominal Christendom that is given to rejoice with the name of the Savior upon their lips, but have never been deeply uncovered. His name shall be called Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins. But then the instructors are given to glory and free and sovereign grace, notwithstanding, that completely excludes anything of man. And then God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction. And then the instructor has mentioned the righteousness and holiness of Christ, that merited righteousness that he has paid the price, and holiness that he has obeyed the law. Even so, as if I never had had and nor committed any sin. Then what rich words the instructors are given to use. Then we think of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress with that burden upon his back. And that burden became so heavy and so unbearable are their souls that are walking with that burden. But then through the cross of Christ, as if I never had or committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. Let us sing of Psalter 446, the stanzas 1 and 2. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cry to Thee. Thou who canst fill with gladness, lend now Thine ear to me. And what follows, 446, 1 and 2. the justification of the sinner by faith. Confessed, declared, and now thirdly, received. How does now a sinner receive this blessing? And then our old fathers, many different places, they have solemnly exhorted the church to seek after this blessing. And I read in 2 Peter 3 verse 18, the calling to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter 1 verse 10, for the church to make their calling and election sure. Thomas Boston, in his fourfold state, in the chapter of the mystical union with Christ, then he has spoken of the church as a branch that must be taken off of the old stock Adam and implanted into Christ. And then he has spoken of 12 different steps before that branch was completely severed. The Lord is free and sovereign, but they are taught by the same Spirit. And it is the work of the Spirit to make room and glorify that precious Jesus Christ in the heart of a sinner. And now in question 61, then the question is, what part does now faith play for the sinner to receive the pardoning of sin? Many, they actually make faith into a work. The free will and ability of man to take those merited blessings unto themselves. Then to make it a little simpler for our boys and our girls, then you can maybe remember from Lord's Day number 7, quite a long time ago, that we can compare faith to a hand. And now the hand of a sinner, that is an empty hand, and that is a filthy hand. But now the Lord, by his grace, in the moment of regeneration, then he grants that hand. And then each time by renewal, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, he granteth the exercise of that hand. And now the hand of faith shall only receive and embrace what the Spirit reveals and grants unto such a sinner. And now the Spirit grants unto that sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit as a hand, that they may receive that acquittal of the forgiveness of their sins. And we read of that faith, Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is a gift of God. Thus also that faith that is a merited and given good. And to that end, no honor unto the sinner, but all the honor unto a triune God of him, through him, and to him be all things, unto him be all the glory of God. the tribunal of God. How art thou righteous before God, and young and old, that is a matter that needs to be addressed. Because I read in Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. May I ask you, has that court case now been set up in your heart? Have you become exercised with those holy matters? Have you become a restless soul? Have you tried to satisfy thy justice? Oh, then maybe one says, but I have learned that I cannot satisfy by my works. Ah, that is a poor answer, because we need to experience it all when the Lord begins that good work. And when we have to do with the judge, and we are given to experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and then we shall come in the workhouse, trying to satisfy justice only to learn no fruit from this tree forevermore. And then the wonder for the sinner that there is that precious advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sins of his people. As I read in 1 John 2 verse 1 and in 1 John 1 verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins but young and old. What shall it be if we have to die without a surety, without a Savior? And then at the end, have to appear before the judge, and our sins rising up against us, found out guilty. But then, on the great day of judgment, there shall be no advocate for you. And then the sentence shall go forth, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. But in this evening, the Lord, he still displays that white flag of peace. Oh, that there is still mercy for the chiefest of sinners. Then in this evening, by means of law and gospel, the Lord still calls unto sinners to be reconciled with God. May the prayers be multiplied. May it please the Spirit to place many sinners in their guilt. May it please the Spirit, ah, for those burdened sinners, and how burdened they can be with everything they have experienced. Ah, they learn that with their choice they cannot satisfy justice, neither by their works. But oh, that wonder, that proclamation, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But now needful not to rest till, as we read in Psalm 35 verse 3, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And for that church, then they may say with the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Amen. Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day. The doors of Thy house have been opened, granted some words to speak. Wilt Thou grant the application? May the prayers be multiplied. May we be given to meditate, be exercised. How it is possible that such a sinner as I am may be righteous before God, to receive the pardoning of sins and the right to eternal life. Lord, that is a blessing that each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest, needeth. And those are blessings that Thy Spirit is given to work. Ah, wilt Thou grant a rich outpouring. We may commence another week. We commend unto Thee the mothers at home with the children, daytime, night watches. Remember the mothers with the unborn. Remember on the way. Remember at work, wherever we are called to be. Keep us from harm and danger. Take us under Thy good care and kind protection. Keep from sin and temptation. And, O Lord, do keep us from an unreconciled death. Because how terrible it shall be to have to appear before the Lord with all our sins, our original sins, our sins from our youth to our last breath. Ah, Lord, Thou art still gathering the church. Bring us together for a weekday service, to hear what the Spirit hath to say unto us, and bring us now safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 83. Let us only sing 1 and 2. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, Psalter 83, only 1 and 2. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.